We come in Jesus' name. Father, may our hearts open to you. We'll give you the praise forever. Amen. Baptismal next Sunday night. Many were unable to be here tonight, and they asked me to postpone it until next Sunday night. So there will be a baptismal service at the close. And of course, Wednesday night, we will be studying this wonderful Song of Solomon. And as I've been reading it the past few days, looking into it that God might put fresh oil on it, my heart was again brought to a message that I brought back some years ago in the Song of Solomon, found in three verses, verse 216, verse 63, and verse 710. And these verses read like this, verse 216. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And then 6:3 says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. And then verse 7:10 says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Now, if you'll put these three side by side, you'll note that there's a significant change in the text. And this change, as you look at it closely, will unfold God's plan for every believer's life. They're sort of like three great mountain peaks, with each one getting higher than the other until you're on the third one. And of course, this is typical of the revelation that God gave to the Apostle Paul for this age and dispensation of grace. There's nothing so tragic as the church that is never taught the meaning of the Apostle Paul and the revelation that God gave him to the church, to an assembly. A man that tells you he doesn't believe in doctrine is a man that you ought not give 5 minutes of your time to. Because when he says, I don't believe in doctrine, that in itself is a man doctrine. But a very weak one. Without the truth, you and I are hopelessly outclassed. The children of Israel went at the word of the Lord. And you'll find that God's precious people have to go at the word of the Lord. Paul, when he would leave the Ephesian saints, he said, And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them also that are sanctified. And so as Paul got a revelation of the glory and the life that was ours in the heavens, he pointed out three special stages to the development of that life, beginning with regeneration, going to consecration, and ending and closing in separation. Now the Jews held this Song of Solomon, and we'll say much more about it Wednesday night as we, if the Lord tarries, as we begin the Song of Solomon. But the Jews held this Song of Solomon as being a most sacredly deep book. And they kept it from their children until maturity. And then they were urged to read it as the holiest of holy writings. And how true it is. And we'll point out the reason for that, Lord willing, Wednesday night. But then you'll notice how these texts picture the progressive steps that are found in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle in the wilderness, and I hope to give some studies this winter. If the Lord tarry that long, I'm going to get the miniature tabernacle, Lord willing, when I go back to Missouri. And you'll note how that in the tabernacle in the wilderness, they had an outer court with the brazen altar and the laver. And then they had a holy place wherein was the candlestick, the table of shewbread, and the altar of incense. And then there was the Holy of Holies, wherein there was the ark and the cherubim, and the things, of course, which the ark contained. And you think no one, as we look at this first text, no one can possibly say, "He is mine," until they've been to the brazen altar. No one. I don't care who they are. With the sacrifice. And no one can realize the true association that they have, the depth of the meaning of their relationship to God, apart from the laver and the priestly duties that are found within the holy place. We must recognize that Christ is the light of our life. He's the light of the world. It has no other. I don't care how brilliant you may be, and I don't care how talented you may be. Only as you present Christ to people will you give them a light that is a true light. And Christ alone is the bread of life. And you can bring nothing to God that will please Him but the fragrance of the life of Jesus Christ. You have to have Christ in your life. Barbara testified. Oh, I wish I could tell you some things. But you have to learn them. You see, I had to learn them. No one could tell me. I have looked on experiences in my life and thought, "Oh God, why did you allow such things happen?" I have had the urge to come in my heart that I literally wanted to hate people and I'd like to do them bodily harm. Today, I was glad that my son's heart felt like I did when I knew that the chickens had come home to roost in somebody's life. There was a sadness in my heart. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and I have no pleasure in seeing someone have to meet God. Have to come face to face. But you see, you will have these experiences for the simple reason that God wants to displace something in your life with something that's precious. And as you seek Him, did you ever have your own familiar friend to lift up his heel against you? Have you ever known what it was to have a Judas kiss? Have you ever experienced the things that would tear at your heart? You might have resented it at the time, but the day will come, if you'll go with God, that you'll be grateful for those things. Because they pressed you out of measure and beyond strength, maybe in so much that you despaired of your life. But God wasn't wanting to destroy you or take you away or defeat you. He was wanting you to lay a hold of Him in His resurrection power. You remember the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." Not the facts. I've never seen one of God's children that didn't pretty well know the facts of the resurrection, but there's a great deal of difference in knowing the facts. You can quote them from your head, but listen, when you begin to know the power of His resurrection, they swell out from the heart. None of God's children can be incense until Christ is in the throne of your heart with that same sacrificial atmosphere that He had when He was on the cross. This was sweet to God. As God looked down, when He saw the travail of His soul, He was satisfied. He said, "This is what I wanted from time immemorial. My Son giving His life up for men." Well, no one can say, "I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me," until they come into the meaning of the Holy of Holies. Several of you have talked about the bride. I pray God nothing will take you off the race course. I pray that it will burn hotter and hotter. I pray that it will become more and more a living reality with you. But you remind me so often of a girl that's just beginning to awaken to the fact that she is a woman. And things that once were so attractive to her, playthings, tricycles, dollies, little toy stoves, and all of these things suddenly become worthless in her eyes. And she suddenly begins to have desires and hungers and ambitions that only some eligible man can ever reach. That happens in your Christian life. And if you've come in contact with some Christian and all they want to talk about is the Lord Jesus and how sweet He is and how wonderful He is, you may think they're love sick, but it's a good sickness. And this is what comes. The ark and the cherubim. The ark, of course, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, who kept the law within Himself, that had the pot of manna, who had the writings, who had the rod of Aaron that budded. All of these things are in Christ. But there's something that's almost one with that mercy seat, and that's the cover of the cherubim. To study the cherubim and the seraphim throughout the Word of God is to become aware that they represent a company of people who are most closely associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my beloved is mine. Let's look at it. Here's the first and the greatest and doubtless the most precious possession that the sinner can possibly have. Regeneration. The new birth. Minister said to a great gathering one time, "Will everyone in the audience say Jesus?" And the chorus swelled up as everyone said Jesus. Then he said, "Everyone in the building who can say my Jesus." And suddenly it was a different matter. Folk who had said Jesus could not say my Jesus. And so many were silent. As the division fell between the saint and the sinner, as the division sometimes fell between the husband and the wife, the children and the parents, between brother and sister, You see, precious hearts, before we can ever say, "My Jesus," we have to know the meaning of the brazen altar. We have to know that on the cross, Jesus Christ gave His life as the burnt offering, consumed of the wrath of an Almighty God. Two things are true when you can say, "My Jesus." The first is you're a new creation, not a repaired wreck. I want you to know, these young folk haven't turned over a new leaf. This people has not reformed. We've never set up a set of rules and regulations for any of them, nor do we intend to. You see, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Just a block and a half away down here, there is a wrecking yard, the Harris Brothers Wrecking Yard. Now, if you've got an old-time car and a part gives out on it, go down there and you may be able to replace it, because they are in the salvage business and they're in the business of patching up wrecks. But Jesus Christ is not in the salvage business. He is not patching up wrecks. Jesus Christ is making every man, every boy, every girl, every woman that comes to Him in faith, He makes them a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. So the first thing that happens when you say, "My Jesus," is a new creation. You're new. You're new. What's the matter with Daryl? He's new. What's the matter with Sam? He's new. What's the matter with Faye? She's new. What's the matter with Fred? He's new. What's the matter with Carol? She's new. This is God's thought about it. It'll never be any other way. And then, you're not only different, you will see different. You'll be different. Get on the high peak. Watch someday. I never come along a thought like this that I don't remember the time years ago that I took dear Brother Oliver Webb from Tulsa, Oklahoma, up to watch the sun rise on Mount Evans. And as we went up, of course, the shadows were all over the countryside. Nothing thrilling. Nothing exciting. You looked off and you saw nothing but gloom and darkness as it filled the space. We got up on Mount Evans and that old sun began to come up. It began to send its fingers of light into the mountains and the valleys and began to transform them. And they began to be beautiful. They began to be breathtakingly beautiful. I remember Brother Webb as he looked down on Echo Lake and Chicago Lake. He said, "Brother Hill, I didn't realize I was passing such beauty as I came up here." I'm going to tell you, don't you feel sorry for somebody that really genuinely gets saved, if they get saved in a church that can lead them to what Christ has for them. Listen, are you giving up something, Scott? Why, you're not gritting your teeth and trying to hang on and hold out. Why, glory to God, you have a peace that nothing of this world could ever give. Look over here at Daryl.
did that old dope ever get you as high as you were in there tonight?
Thank you, dear Brother Copley. Years ago, someone tried to get him to go up on Mount Evans. Highest road. His statement was, oh no, he said, I'm higher than that already. So you become a new creature. Old things pass away. I'll say it again. I smoke all I want to, drink all I want to, take all the dope I want to, see all the shows I want to, dance all I want to, carouse all I want to. Hallelujah! I just don't want to. Let's look at the second one. 6:3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Now if, as the legalist thinks of it, I can only say my beloved is mine, you see, I only have him. I am, in other words, just holding on and holding out. You see, I might grow weary. Where would you rather have been? Inside of that ark when God shut the door and sealed it on those 8 people in there? Or would you rather tried to hang on to one of the pegs till that thing was over? Think about it a minute. You know, there's a lot of people going to hold out faithful to the end. I'm glad I never got off on that bench. I'm so glad. You see, I realized one day that I was his. That he loved me. That he holds me. That he will not leave me or abandon me to my fate. Everything is different. It's not the same. I heard some of the precious young folk that came in from various places to the youth camp. Heard some of them saying, and their pastors, dummies. I'm sorry they weren't all together dummies, but they weren't telling the kids the truth. And suddenly going back into those unsaved homes. Now, just pray for them. Just pray for them. Well, sure, we're going to pray for them. But we need to more than pray for them. We need to let them know who was with them. Listen, Jesus, when he takes your hand, he don't get down yonder to one of those rough spots or deep ravines or dark nights and say, now, buddy, you go on by yourself. I'm kind of afraid of what's out there. He said to me one day, he said, Hill, come on, let's go. I was with Moses. I was with David, I'll be with you. I was with Israel, I'll be with you. I was with Elijah, I'll be with you. I was with Elisha, I'll be with you. I was with Jeremiah, I'll be with you. Listen, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And if you want to know why I'm up here tonight, not somewhere else, it's because he kept his word. Not because I kept mine. John 10:28, Jesus speaks of his sheep and the fold. And he tells those things that bring rest to the sheep. He says that he gives them eternal life. He says that he holds them and keeps them. And that the Father holds and keeps them. And that he and the Father are agreed about it. And they will never perish, nor shall any man pluck them out of their hands. And what a shame that such is branded tonight in many Christian circles as damnable doctrine and scares many half to death. But when the truth dawns and the heart takes a hold of it, There comes a soul ease. Did you ever have heart ease? Kathy came over to my house tonight and she said, "Brother Hill, I got a heartburn." She wanted a little soda to make it easy. Well, you know, I had a heartache. And it ached, and it got heavier, and it got more desperate, and it became more bleak, and no peace was there, no light was there, no joy was there, no comfort was there, and no consolation was there, and I was afraid of yesterday, and afraid of today, and afraid of tomorrow, and I tried to drown it with drink, and carousing, and what have you, and then, oh, bless his sweet name, he came in, and I've had heart's ease ever since. Oh, yes, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Not only is my beloved mine, not only can I say he's mine, not only have I accepted him as my Savior, but I realize I'm his. Oh, this is what you want, and that's what I wanted to get to the young people at that camp. I got up and I told them, you can trust Jesus Christ when you go home. You can take him with you. He'll go with you. Fact's the matter, you might not recognize him, but he'll stay by you. He'll stay with you the longest of the longest day. When every second is ticked out, he'll be there. And he won't be there with a diminished force. He'll be there all-powerful, the omnipotent God. Learn to put your confidence up yonder. Oh, yes. Oh, you know why? Listen, I love you people. But my confidence is not in you people. Don't you put yours in me. Let's put it in God. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. No, what a shame. Because one realizes the meaning of redemption. Peter once said, "Redeem not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." Peter said, or Paul said, "You're bought with a price." Then in John 17, Jesus says, "Thou gavest them to me." And again, Paul said, "You're not your own." And then you and I are able to say, "I am my beloved's by consecration." Not by giving him one thing that isn't his. Oh, how could anyone ever give him that which is already his? You know what I did? I gave the Lord $10. Well, you dummy. You never gave him $10. The earth is the Lord's. Amen. And the fullness thereof. How could you give him what was his? He just put something in your keeping for a little while. He said, "You'd better use it for me." Don't you know I straw where I don't sow? Oh, yeah. You know the only way I can really consecrate myself to him is just simply taking my hands off of everything that's already his and say, "Now, Lord, I made a mess of it. You run it." Let's go to the third one, and I don't want to overkeep you. I got started late. 7:10, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." Who could ever describe the sadness and the loss of a child of God who was never brought into a realization of the bridal truth? Oh, these fellows, God love them, and if I didn't want to whip them, I could really say God bless them. But a man gets up, or someone gets up, and he takes this book filled with the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you know who they belong to, Geese? Who? They belong to you. You know who they belong to, Sam? They belong to you. If you're a child of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ belong to you. And I don't care how a man robs you of it. If he robs you, he's robbing you. If he hasn't got the courage to get up and dispense with the wealth of God that belongs to you, he has no business being God's storekeeper. One day, every shepherd is going to meet that great shepherd of the sheep. And I don't know. I won't be responsible how big or how little or how many or how few. But there's one thing I pray God and expect when it comes up. And they said, what did you do with them few sheep? I'll say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I fed my father's sheep. If you don't know that Jesus Christ is offering you the greatest thing that has ever been offered to the human and will ever be offered to the human in this day and age, you're being robbed of the sweetest thing that God ever intended for your life. He hath visited the Gentiles in this age to take out of them a people for his name. Aren't you glad, Arthur, sitting there, that old Jew that you got in on the visit to the Gentiles? He didn't visit you. He visited us. You know what Arthur did? He came along, this old Gentile invited him in. That wonderful? Oh, yes. One of his friends saw him the other night and couldn't believe it was Arthur, but it was. Slightly changed for the better. It's wonderful to get saved. It's wonderful to see the grace of God. It's wonderful to know that Jesus Christ will never leave you, never forsake you, never fail you, never, never, never. Can anybody, he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Let's look here a moment. Here is this sweet little child. And I'd walk up to that daddy and that mother, and I'd say, what would you do to get rid of that baby? Look me in the eye and I'd say, look, brother, did you think we were heathen? No. But I'd say, you look like you use little money, I'll give you $100,000 for it. They'd say, well, now wait a minute, now just wait a minute. Didn't you hear us a moment ago? We said nothing. Well, I'd say, well, kind of like a job. Can you help me? Darrell say, now look, brother, you know, I'm trying to be patient. Didn't I just tell you two or three times I would not take anything for that job? But I said, but now look, the last
cast old D.E. out. Oh, Jesus, but look. You don't know what he did. Didn't I just tell you if he came to me, I would never cast him out? Well, but wait a minute. He's got all fault and don't think he amounts to much. Well, but you just wait a minute. If he came to me, I don't keep a word. I said I wouldn't cast him out. You won't to me.
To know that, isn't it? But listen, one day I'd been saved about 7 months. Oh, I'd been reading about and hearing people testify about the bride of Christ and the race course and those things. But one day I was in prayer and I felt like Jesus Christ came to me just like a young man would come to a beautiful young woman and propose. He said, now, Hill, he said, I'd like to have you in my bride. I said, me? I don't amount to anything. Well, he said, you never will. But I love you. And I'm going to make something of you. Now, don't count that which I have cleansed common or unclean. You belong to heaven now. You're a new creature. I've filled you with my blessed Holy Spirit. I've shown you the grace of God. I've shown you these things. Now, listen. I want you to be ready when the trumpet sounds. And the devil sometimes, as I've dipped into the valleys, has made me wonder. But always I'd look up and there was a light in his window. And like I preached to you in that getting down in that dark ravine, they said when we got down there, in the lowest part, we looked up and we could see the stars shining. And oh, it's coming to sunset for me. But don't you get excited. They come over here one of these days and say, did you hear Brother Hill died? Don't believe a word of it. Don't you believe it? I won't be dead. Oh, no, I'll be where Paul wanted to go and where dear old Brother Copley wanted to go and where everybody that's really loved the Lord wanted to go. And so shall we ever be with Paul. That says it all. If he is so good to me, if he's doing so much for me, if everything I have is in him, if I have been blessed and thrilled and chilled by the glory of God these years in this old natural body, what's it going to be to be there? I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, he just has eyes for me. He's just thinking about me. Don't you think I ought to be thinking about him? He's just thinking about me. His desire is toward me. Bless your heart. I don't give you Bible studies very often on Sunday night, but I got into that song and I just felt the call to. I trust God. That you all, you see, I may not be here Wednesday night. Let me not be here Wednesday night.
But if we aren't, I'll join arms with as many of you as care to go up there.
You know, they think you're crazy anyway, you just well to act the part.
You know that? You know, I'm glad for Holy Ghost feelings. Them kind that you just can't put in a tin cup. You can't even put them in your whole life. They run over.
Feeling like it's got three overcoats on it and my head aching. Oh, it's wonderful to love the Lord, and I just might wake up in the morning over there. All right, I'm not going to sing a song. If you want to come around the altar, just get up and come. And those that want to go, God love you, you're dismissed.